Father, we just thank you right now for your word. Your word, we won't keep it. Your word is first place. We will keep your word first place in our life, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, for 2017. That, Lord, there's dreams and visions that are yet to come to pass. And, Father, we're just believing and trusting in you that your word is going to illuminate our minds. That, Lord, we're going to see things in our heart that are actually, we're going to see it manifest in our lives. And, Lord, we just thank you for that vision. We thank you for the purpose. We thank you. Your word is alive, and it keeps that vision alive on the inside of us. That, Lord, when we put your word in our heart, that, Lord, it comes alive on the inside of us, and it changes things. So we just thank you. Your word is final authority in our life, and it's going to bring us a bright future. We're going to walk in it in Jesus' name. Amen? So let's go over to the book of Romans. It's where we'll be in this message today. We was talking about a Roman centurion. Might as well just talk about the book of Romans a little bit, right? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I believe I shared the message with Wednesday night Bible study, didn't I? I think I shared it with those guys. They might not have been listening real good. Uh-oh. I didn't hear no amen, brother. I was reading Jesse Duplantis' partner letter, and he was talking about the word God gave him. In other words, defeat. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. As I read on through the letter, he talked about being happy. This year was going to be a year that he was going to be experiencing happiness in the Lord. Abundance, that brings happy. That makes you happy. When you're above and not beneath, that makes you happy. Happy. Joy and happiness are two different things. But the title of this message is, now you can put your name in there, but Finding My Happy Place. Say happy place. Happy place. Finding My Happy Place. Definition: happy place means being who I am in Christ Jesus. That makes me, in other words, I got to be content with who I am, who God created me to be. We have the same spirit of Christ once we get born again, but we're different. We're different. We can look at each other and know that we're different. Well, spend a little bit of time with each other and you'll know that you're different. Amen? Get married and you'll really understand what differences are. But love binds it all together. And it can be beautiful. And we can enjoy happiness. Amen? If we learn how to get along. Got to learn how to get along. Jesus had to get along with those that spit in his face. That pulled his beard out. Now, he didn't like what they were doing. But he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Had they knew who they were doing that to, they would never have done it. But they were blinded. See, the devil wants to blind our eyes. He wants to blind our mind to the truth. And if we let him, it'll happen. We can be in darkness. Jesus said one time in the Gospels, he says, how great is that darkness? See, we can be saved, born again, and still walk in darkness in our mind. Brother Kenneth Hagin said it this way, you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head. You're born again, you're saved. God loves you regardless, no matter what you do, whether the outcome. I mean, you're born again, you're saved, you're going to heaven, but I want to experience God's best here on this earth. That means I've got to renew my mind. I've got to find my happy place. I've got to find it. And once I find it, nobody going to get me out of my happy place. Right? If they cuss me, spit at me, say all evil, bless and curse not. Only way you're going to do that if you're in your happy place. And it's easy to get out of that happy place and get into the flesh. That's what the devil wants, because he knows if you get into the flesh, now you're in his territory and he can take shots at you. You get out from that happy place and it ain't happy out there, right? So Romans 12, this is where my happy place came from as I was reading this. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, say mercies of God. Mercies of God. that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable, say reasonable, reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, the proof is in the pudding, that you may prove what is that good. I seen Vicky cackle a little back there. You cooking something at home? You got some pudding at home, Vicky? You got some banana pudding? Colette does? Okay. You know I don't like bananas in my pudding, right? What does the pastor like? Help me. Manna pudding. Manna, that bread from heaven. Well, it's a little joke. Y'all be here in a little bit. I like vanilla wafers in my pudding. Just leave out the bananas. Just give me all the vanilla wafers and all the other good stuff, because the bananas, they get kind of black. I like my banana pudding hot right out of the oven. I don't like the cold banana pudding. Now, I'll eat cold banana pudding if you bring it. But if you see me picking out the bananas, don't judge me. Just love me. I like manna pudding. I like God's pudding. I like His blessings. That He don't add no sorrow with Him. And it's good stuff. And you can get all the helping you need. And it's fat-free pudding. Don't put it on God's Word. It's better to you than all the physical exercise you can do. Now, I'm not against physical exercises. God knows I need it. But His Word is more important, more beneficial. We need to make a box of cereal on that. God's Word is beneficial. Eat this cereal, but take His Word first. You put a scripture there for your breakfast. Start off the day with the Word of God. Start off the day, live the day, and end the day. How about that? With the Word of God. Amen? And that'll benefit you. You'll be in a happy place. These two verses, and I didn't mean to get on banana pudding, but I did. These two verses are the ingredients to a recipe for a victorious Christian life. Can you see it? These verses. God has a plan for each of us, and it fits us to a T. His plan for all of us is good, but in that plan, we're all at different areas, different stages, but God hasn't changed. His plan for us is good, and that purpose and that desire, the people that are most happy, and I've heard this quoted, so I'm going to say it, are those that find the will of God and are doing it. Now, does that mean you found the perfect will of God yet? And no, but if you start at the good and you continue on in the acceptable, you will end up in the perfect will of God. Don't look at the pastor and say, well, I've got to preach the gospel. No, what has God called you to do? That's where you start. That's where you walk, and you end up in the perfect will, wherever it is for you in your walk. You know, Dallas is in, you know, he's at UNC Charlotte. He's wanting to go into law enforcement. I believe Alan, are you in security in that area? You might look at everything that's happened this year, past two or three years. Law enforcement is not a place a lot of people want to be right now. I don't even have to go into the details of what all trust, all these different things. And that police officer is not making a real, real, real lot of money for what they do. I believe Trump, maybe we can just change that. I think that'll be one of the changes, that people that are putting their life on the line ought to at least be recompensed a little bit, real good for what they do. But see, and through all that, if you're in your happy place and God's called you to be a law officer, you got to do it. And you'll stay in your happy place, and you don't look at all what's happening in the world to determine what God has called you to do. If He's called you to serve in law enforcement, to protect and serve, that's what they do, you stay in your happy place, and you'll, every circumstance you come up against, God's grace and mercy involved in it, you'll come out, and that person will come out a better person. And that's the law. And I'm not discouraging Dallas from his vision. If that's what God's put in his heart, do it with all you got on the inside of you. Don't let nothing stand between you and God's purpose. You got to find your happy place to get there. And your happy place has got to be in your relationship with the Lord. Amen? What Paul was telling us. Number one, these ingredients. Present your bodies. That's your life, your psyche. Everything Before Christ, you thought you were doing. Once you get in Christ, it might be a little bit different. I'm going to say it's going to be a lot different. Because if you're doing your own thing, it's going to be different. It's going to be a lot different. I was doing a lot of my things that I wanted to do. Y'all know what squirrel money, all that squirrel money I was keeping before Christ. You know, this is my squirrel money, and then this is what I give my wife. And the squirrel money was a whole lot more than what I was giving her to pay bills. But see, I wasn't serving God. That was my money. I worked for this money, woman. I worked all week for this money. Now you want me to give it to you and help you pay bills? Well, see, now God changed all that. And Sherry really had to know there was a change before. So God, you're saying he's going to be the head of the house now? And she really had to see a change in me before she really trusted things I was saying. But God did change, and he did a work in our lives, and he totally changed the direction we were going, because she was the breadwinner. She was one out making all the money, and I was at home working a mediocre job. And if it rained, different areas of my life, if I was in construction and raining didn't have nothing to do, I was at home playing Nintendo. Wasn't even thinking about my wife out there working 10, 12 hours. She was a manager. I'm just in my flesh. I'm just, Lord, let it rain. I mean, I wasn't praying to the Lord, but if it rains, I'm going to play Nintendo. I'm going to get to the level 2. See, that's the flesh. It thinks only of what I want. Well, all the time she's out there working hard, coming home, you know. She was lost too, but she wasn't quite as lost as I was, I guess I'd say. She had more accountability than I did. And it's just the old flesh, just the devil. And that brought division. That brought arguments. That brought strife in the family. So you got to present your bodies, your life, what you thought you wanted to do when you come to Christ is, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done in my life. And if you do that, God will put his desires in your heart, and you'll end up having a whole lot better life and still getting the things that God knows that you desire, you like to do, getting them done. I'm still believing for a motorcycle that I sowed into the kingdom. Lord, I want to ride that thing before I get a little bit older. I'm not going to say how old you got to be to ride a motorcycle, but you know, you got your balance has got to be there. I'm a cruiser. I like a cruising my motorcycle, not one of the big, what would you say, Mark, the gold wings. I'm more the cruiser. I like to get out there and just where I can lay that thing down in the curve a little bit, put the wind between my hair. I ain't got as quite as much hair as I used to have, but I'll have a helmet on. I do wear a helmet. I like to ride motorcycles, but I sowed. See, I used to do that before I met Christ. Now, we're talking about finding your happy place. Before Christ, that was one of my happy places, is getting out there and riding my motorcycle and just doing what I wanted to do. No care. Even though bills were piling up, air conditioning didn't work in the trailer, all these things, but I get out there and ride my motorcycle. But when I got born again, and I went through about 6 or 7 motorcycles before Christ. I'd trade one, sell another. And wife saying, "Don't you go get another motorcycle? What do you want to do when somebody tells you not to do something?" By God, I'm going to do all I can to do that. I'd go get one, wouldn't ask her. Yeah, I lived in a doghouse. I had a bunch of doghouses I lived in. Because she'd tell me not to do it, I'd find some way to do it. I'd trade and bargain and get the money that I needed. It wasn't a new motorcycle. It was the one I could get my hands on. But once Christ came in, we used to go to Freedom Christian Center. We still do for camp meeting, Brother Andrew Womack. And this was my second meeting. And Dean Melton, if you know Pastor Dean Melton, that man, he knows how to make things grow. A businessman. And you come down there, whatever you wanted to give, if you wanted to give your motor home, if you wanted to do anything, if you wanted to donate it to Dean, you bring it into the kingdom, he'd do something with it for the kingdom. And I just heard him preach about, you know, and heard Andrew preach about faith, and I had this motorcycle that next year. And a buddy of mine I used to ride motorcycles with, I don't think he was saved back then, God put in my heart, I need to get rid of this thing, because it's brought a lot of strife in my life. Now, I still enjoyed riding them, but it didn't represent who I was then. It always kept me away from my wife and my family. And that was a sacrifice for me. It was paid for. It was probably about a $2,000 Yamaha 650 something. That was a Honda. It's a pretty nice motorcycle. And I said, Dean, camp meeting came that year, Pastor, I got a motorcycle. If I brought you a motorcycle, could you, I want to give it into the kingdom. Could you receive a motorcycle? You know, Dean, bring it, brother. He had a, I think he had a, what would you say? It's not like an auction. It was a raffle. He had a raffle for that motorcycle. And then he took the money and put it into the kingdom of God. And they brought that motorcycle into the tent. Back then, it was just a sawdust floor. They didn't ride it in there. They pushed that motorcycle in. They might have rode it in. That was hard for me. That was hard. I'm like, man, Lord, did I really want to do this? And that's been a long time. Ruthie's 17. But the Lord showed me one day as I got into the Word. But my friend, he had to ride me down there because I had to ride the motorcycle and he had to take me home. I said, brother, would you follow me down to this camp meeting? I'm going to give my motorcycle away. He said, you going to do what? You going to do what? I just feel like I need to give this to God. And he did, and he actually had to listen to that one night camp meeting anyway. But he did. I took it and gave him, and he gave me a ride home. But that was hard when they rode my motorcycle down there and somebody else was going to get that thing. But then later on, as I'm ministering and getting into Word, God says, you haven't lost that motorcycle. It was a seed that you sowed. I said, praise God. So God's working on another motorcycle. See, it's in the womb. As you give, it'll be given back to you, right? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I got a better one coming. But like I say, you just don't wait on God's will. You have to say, Lord, I'm getting a little older now. You know, I want to ride before I get a little bit. Put your time frame on there. That's one of my happy places. I like riding motorcycle. I'm happy there. But without Christ, I'm not. Because, see, now I would ride for His glory to go tell a story, not just go ride for me. And He actually gave me, I'm going to get me a license plate. It says, live to give to live. Give. And it might have say yes to Jesus. That's another one. I'll be working those two out. Might put one on the front, one on the back. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Your life, what you want to do, give it to God. Sow what you want to do. Sow it into the kingdom. This has to be a need. It's a one-time commitment, but we have to do it daily. Sacrifice. It's got to be a one-time heart commitment. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Every day of our life, if we want to hit our goal, and what's our goal? That perfect will. We've got to do that. Present our body as a living sacrifice. Remember, this is our reasonable service. Reasonable. Many Christians they want to get saved, and they want to go to heaven. And that's a good desire. But they want to live any way they choose here on the earth until that day. Now, I didn't say all Christians, I said many Christians. That's not a living sacrifice. And you will not be in God's perfect will. And I can guarantee you, you're not going to be in your happy place. You might be satisfied, but not happy. Amen? I heard this morning in the coffee room, one of the ladies was talking about somebody that had committed suicide, and they had a Ferrari. They had all these things, Ferraris and Jaguars and all these things, and they commit suicide. But they're all the time they're embezzling, they're stealing from other people to have all these things. And if you don't have Jesus in the center of your life, things will come in and things will go out. My wife's seen it like this. It's like a seed pack you have on your back, and you got a hole in your seed pack. Whereas all these seeds come in, you got a hole in your bag, and everything's coming in, but it's going right out without Christ. You won't have the wisdom of God. You won't have the blessing of God working in your life. Amen? That's not a living sacrifice, and it won't take you to God's perfect will. But a lot of these people, they've been told, once you're saved, now you have to keep all these rules and regulations. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do that. They're trying to put something on them that God never put there. If you can't serve God with a free will, don't think, you don't need to put God's burden of serving Him. You got to do this, you got to do that. They have to see that for themselves. That the benefit of serving God is a blessing, not a burden. But you got to find it. You got to want to do it with a free will. And that's the love and the grace and the mercy of God you got to show people. And I'm getting there. That's not the mercies Paul was talking about when he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your body, not by the law that you present your body, not by all these rules and regulations that you do this work. No, it's by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. If you don't do that way, that's something called religion. The mercies of God, if not what Paul was talking about, that is religion. It is the goodness of God that causes men to repent. That's what we got to show. Why are you doing this, Pastor? Why are you preaching? Why are you teaching at Life Christian University? Why are you doing this? I want to show people the goodness of God. Well, you know they're out there doing this and they're out there doing that. Yeah, and God does too. But I don't want to point them of what they're doing. I want to point what you're doing. I want to point you to Jesus. I want to tell you about Jesus. Because you don't need to tell a sinner how bad they sin, and they know they are. I knew I was. Don't tell me to quit smoking. Don't tell me to quit drinking. Tell me your testimony about Jesus and what good things and great things He's done in your life. And then you're presenting your life a living sacrifice. You're living your life a living sacrifice, and that will change my heart. Don't give them the law. That's just going to strengthen the hold that's on them. That sin. It just strengthens it. Give them grace and mercy. The mercies of David. That goes great mercies. God's mercies are fresh every morning. But then the Bible also says, there's some you've got to snatch. The Bible says snatch. You've got to bring them a strong word. That they've rejected the word of this goodness of God. And they're on their way to hell. So the Bible says snatch them as out of the fire. Some it's going to take the law to show them their sin. But don't stay there with the law with them. You bring them to the cross and you take them to Pentecost. When God fills them with His Spirit. See, the cross is for that sin. To remove that burden. You take them to the cross, but don't you leave them there. Many Christians got left there. Now you're born again? Come back in Sunday. Are you sure you're born again? Come back in next week. Are you really, really, really sure you got born again? Did you go out and sin? See, that ain't teaching them about it. That's leaving them at the cross. Jesus is not on the cross. Neither should we be. The cross is not a burden. It's a blessing that was lifted from me. Amen? Take them to Pentecost. Get them filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And then they'll find their happy place. See, they were in their happy place. They were doing what God, Jesus, told them to go and do. He said, wait in Jerusalem. Tarry here. That was their happy place. And look what happened. God poured out His Spirit on all those in that happy place. 120 people. Amen? And that's 120 people. He can fill millions of people at the same time. Just like that. Just like that. But that heart's got to be open. The heart's got to be open. Number two, that was number one. Present your body as a living sacrifice. These are the ingredients. Number two, be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold of what a preacher's supposed to be, of what a teacher's supposed to be, of what a policeman's supposed to be. No, what is Christ created us to be? Love. He created us in His image and in His likeness. That's who we are. Amen? The world's not like that. The world couldn't see Jesus. The world couldn't see the miracles. Right before their face, they said, oh, it had to be something here. This can't be a miracle. That's your second ingredient. Be not conformed to this world. Number three, there's only three ingredients. Spirit, soul, and body. Number three, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Uh-oh, there's that hard one. By the renewing of your mind. You said my mind can't be like Lewis? It can if he's got it renewed to the Word of God. Because a lot of people out there, they don't have the mind of Christ. There's only two, two beings in this earth. You either are born again or you're dead. You're Christian, you're saved, or you're lost, and you're in the devil's kingdom. Two kingdoms, one or the other. And we see it on the news every day. There's minds out there, and there's people out there that are filled with evil and hate. They're just full of the devil. Is what Christians, we know what it is. The world don't understand it. They can't figure it out. They take them to a psychiatrist, and it just makes things, it might make it calm for a little bit, but what they're doing, they're just putting a Band-Aid on something that's getting ready to get infested, and it's going to come off, and it's going to be bad. Because the only thing that's going to help people is Jesus. He's the only answer to any solution. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the Word of God, and this is what it will do. You don't have, and get this. This is Word of Faith Church. I'm just getting your attention. Faith, listen to this now. Faith does not have to be understood. You don't have to understand faith. Faith is of the heart. Faith is a choice. God's word is a seed. You don't have to understand how it's going to work. You just believe. Believe and let it do what it was created to do in you. Joyce Meyer is famous for saying, God created us to be a human being, not a human doing. We're human beings. God created us in His image and in His likeness. And when we put God's word in our heart, and keep putting in our heart, the word will manifest in your life as long as you don't dig it out. Let the devil steal it out from your heart. You don't have to understand faith. You just believe. Because if you try to understand it to your mind, it's enmity against God. See, don't try to understand faith. Just believe and operate, and you'll see it manifest in your life. This is what mind renewal happens. Let the Word of God transform you into the image that God has for you. Let God's Word transform you into the image. You know, Rowan got these, I think his mama got him these things for Christmas. You put them on your eyes. It's like you stick your iPhone in there, and you've got a game to where now it's virtual reality. And, you know, I've got glasses on, so I put these things on, and it was just a game. It's kind of like I had it on for about 30 seconds. I said, what am I trying to do? What am I trying to accomplish here? And then I took it off. I said, I'm sorry, I just can't get into this. Virtual reality. I want reality. I want reality. I don't want man's image. See, this is a game's image. I want God's image. I want reality. That is reality. Let the Word of God transform you into the image God has for you. Get a picture of this prosperous image. See yourself prospering. Get a picture of that. Renew your mind and see yourself healed. That's gone. That's not in my life. That's not in my picture. That's not on my wall. Healed, prosperous. These are images you've got to let the Word, you've got to get a hold of this. Healthy. I see myself healthy. Whole. Well, I'm not a diabetic. The doctor says if you meet these criteria, you are a diabetic. No, Jesus said I'm healed. He says receive the Word only. Don't believe that. Your daughter's dead. Jesus said, fear not. You're not a diabetic. Your pancreas is well. It's whole. So you've got to get an image of that. What is Jesus saying? This is what mind renewal takes. To the Word of God, not just to people's opinions. That's called manipulation. That's the devil. It's got to be transformed to God's Word. We're going back to the Eden. Tammy's got a wonderful song, going back to Eden. To the garden, the way we were created. See yourself happy in your happy place. Right where God created you to be. And get an image of you're victorious. No matter where you are in that situation, see yourself, you're the victor, not the victim. I am victorious because Christ has already redeemed me. It's what we heard this morning. He has already redeemed me. And if you get all those ingredients And you mix that all together and add something called faith, that even though all these ingredients, I can't see them, they're not sugar, they're not eggs, but it's the Word of God. It's a spiritual thing. You can't see it with your physical eyes, but it's reality. It's real. It is real. It is real. We will prove the proof is in the pudding. We will prove, say prove. Prove. We will prove the end result of the promise. We will start in good, get born again. That's a good place to be. It's a good place to start. You got to start there. Monopoly, you start the game of Monopoly, you start here. And you got to go all around before you collect $100. Is it $100 or $200? $200. I think it's went up since I played that game. You've got to start at the starting. You got to start with Jesus. That's the beginning. Somebody tell me, He is the beginning. You start with Jesus and you continue on. You go through Park Place. You go through Boardwalk. You pass go. Get out, collect $100. But you continue on that life journey, transforming your mind to the Word of God. And you'll prove the end result of this promise. We'll start at good, go on to acceptable, and we will finish up by living out the perfect will of God. Who determines when I get there? Does God? Who determines when I get to that perfect will? I do. But don't try to understand it along life's way. Now, I'm not telling you don't try to understand why I've got sickness right now. No, you need to know that's not from God. You do need to understand that's not from God.
Right.
And you need to get somebody to help you pray. You continue. You go to what the Word says. You do what Jesus says. He said the devil has no place. Sickness has no place. Poverty has no place in my life. And we've got to stand on that ground. That's called holy ground. That is called holy ground. Amen. My happy place. Finding and living in our happy place. It's what we need to focus on. Amen.
Amen.
Don't let nobody get you out of that happy place. Nobody get you out of there. Nobody get you out of there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can you see your happy place? Wait a minute now. You can't see it with your eyes open. Shut your eyes. Shut your eyes. Find your happy place. You know what I see right now? I see you looking in your heart. See, you're not going to find your happy place in your eyes. As soon as you open your eyes, you're going to see the curse that's in this earth. This earth is not what God created to be. It never will be because it's got to be destroyed. But you and I, we are His children. We've been created. We are a new creation.
Yes.
This world can understand Christians. It can't understand us because we don't belong here. Once we got born again, we don't belong here on this cursed earth anymore. God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. But until then, He said, occupy till I come. Show my glory in this earth right now till I come. Jesus walked and He talked and He backed up what He walked and talked about by laying hands on the sick,
yes,
by raising the dead, by casting out devils, by taking Peter and going to his house and healing Peter's wife because she had a sickness, she had a fever. Jesus said, nope, failure is not an option when He walked in that house. Fever, sickness is not an option when Jesus walks in. You need to have that same, we need to have that same image on the inside of us. Just like Reed this morning, right before service, he had a migraine headache. He had a headache. We prayed. I was getting ready to lay hands on him. God says, no, you got to touch him. Just hook up faith with him. Is it gone, Reed? It left in there. And we said, no, we don't want to return it. Lewis stood, fought the good fight of faith. Finished his blessed water right now. See, little things. Believe God in little things. I started out with headaches, trusting God, speaking of that headache. Because you're going to help. God needs you to help somebody else out. I mean, there's people that suffer with migraine headaches, doing all that they can do to get relief. When all it takes is the Word of God, which has the peace of God. that'll bring peace and settledness to your mind. I mean, there's all kind of things going on in the mind. I don't know. I didn't have to understand. All we have to do is know that God says, believe for this brother. Speak to the mountain and command it to move. And whatever your mountain is, just speak to it. Just speak. Is it speaking louder than you are? That's what we heard this morning. Sometimes that mountain is speaking louder than we are. But you've got a voice. The Holy Ghost will inspire your tongue. Amen. And He'll give you boldness. He'll give you whatever you need to speak. And He'll also give you visions. Mark, I believe God's going to grow you in this area of seeing things, not with your natural eyes, but in your heart. You're going to see things and you're going to know things before it happens. It's going to benefit you, and it's also going to be for people around you. Now, take this as not from me, but from the Lord. You're going to have a knowing on the inside of you. Don't hold that word in. Just tell somebody. Don't say, thus saith the Lord. Don't say that. Just say it from your heart. I think I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't do, just whatever the Lord gives you, there's going to be areas that He's going to use you in that. And what you want to do, what's that first ingredient? Present my, okay, Lord, here's my body. I'm presenting it to you. The pastor said, this is going to happen to me. Present your body as a living sacrifice and let His Spirit show you that. Because He's putting us in strategic places for this year, for the coming years. Amen. Our church is supposed to be on fire. Amen. On fire for God. Putting out the fires that the devil is trying to start. Church on fire. And it doesn't have to be this great word, just a warning. Amen. Helping somebody in the kitchen, preparing something that's blessing somebody. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You right now that, Lord, the image that's been created this morning on the inside of us, Lord, it's already been, You created things, You spoke things before they even were manifest. Lord, we just believe and trust in Your Word today, Father God, that it's going to be, we're going to stay in that happy place. And if we're not there, we're going to find that happy place. And that happy place is knowing and trusting in You while we're down here on this earth. No matter what is happening around us, Lord, no matter what is happening around us, we're not going to let it infect us or change us. But, Lord, we're going to change situations. Lord, we're going to be the ones that's going to keep catastrophes from happening, from terrorist attacks from happening. Lord, we're going to be the ones. We're going to be standing. We're going to be proclaiming and speaking the name of Jesus with authority and seeing Your mighty works and notable miracles in this earth. And it's going to start with us, and it's going to continue on. It's already started, Lord. You started over 2,000 years ago when You born the church. And, Lord, we just thank You, Father God, that it stays alive on the inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen.